You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, long ago, in a lifetime far removed from present day, I was an undergraduate student. And I think you're aware of the school I went to, right? Can I hear it, please? Yeah, it's USC. It's that wonderful institution. In the early days there, I happened to be a biological sciences major. And I plodded through the general courses that were required, the science courses. And one of those required courses that I had to take was calculus. Now, I had been a good math student in high school, and in my junior year, had completed what we then called trigonometry and analytical geometry. And I thought that had finished my mathematics career. And I cruised through my senior year of high school, not concerned about that discipline whatsoever. So it was a certain shock to the system when I began the study of calculus, this knowledge that's so graciously been given to us and successive generations by Leibniz and Isaac Newton. Now, some of the calculus actually made sense. Most of it was an absolute struggle. I could see how it was beneficial at the same time that it felt so foreign. And to this day, I have great appreciation for the discipline, for people like my wife and my son who completely understand it. But if my life depended on my current ability to derive an equation, go ahead and write the obituary. There are many things that we experience in life that are complicated. They tax us. They confound us. Can you think of what any of those things might be? Perhaps it's understanding relationships. Perhaps it's trying to make sense of the office politics. Perhaps it's wondering how white supremacists can be viewed on equal moral ground with those who protest these same evils. Perhaps you can think of even more that confounds. Well, our understanding and our practice of the Christian faith, or following Jesus as I prefer to refer to it, is another one of those places that can be challenging and confounding. And as difficult as it is to say, the subject of prayer is one of the aspects of the faith that has tied people up in metaphorical knots, trying to make sense of this activity, which we say is so central to who we are as God's children. As Kathy and I were thinking about this series a few months back, we really had no idea how timely it would be, the subject of prayer, in the place in which we find ourselves and we find our nation. If there has ever been a time for prayer and for healing, it is now. And in reflecting on the subject of prayer, there was an image that kept emerging for me, this sense that prayer is something that exposes us. It exposes us in what can seem a very uncomfortable way before God. And this image of raw and rawness, that's the thought that was gnawing at me. Because you see, I believe that when we engage in prayer, we are being raw with God. Now, our Bible has many, many passages on the subject of prayer. And this morning's text from Matthew's Gospel, which emphasizes those words of ask and seek and knock, it's one of those familiar texts. While the biblical instruction sets the stage, I realize that in my lifetime, I have learned much more about prayer from those mentors and those saints in the faith who have a much deeper understanding and gift when it comes to the subject of prayer. And I've also really been illuminated by certain writers. One writer in particular is the late Father Henri Nouwen. Nouwen was a priest and a theologian and a writer and a professor whose numerous books to date has sold over 7 million copies. He resonates with a lot of people. His writing is as approachable as it can be deep. And his book, With Open Hands, is for me one of the most helpful discussions I have ever read about prayer. And it's going to be the backbone for this sermon series over the next several weeks, Raw with God. And so right now, I'm going to encourage each of you to get a copy of this for yourself. It's available in paperback. It's available in e-reader editions, readily available. And if you look in the worship guide, I've included the basic information that you'll need in order to get this book. But I guarantee you, if you purchase it and take the time to read it, it is a transformative experience. Well, Jesus taught his disciples about prayer in a number of ways. The teaching from Matthew's gospel that we heard this morning is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And earlier in that sermon, he had taught his disciples to pray using the format we refer to today as the Lord's Prayer. And now in this particular passage, we have more of a discourse on this interaction between God and the person who chooses to be in prayer. And the basic teaching, when you rip away everything else, is that God is here. And that God hears us. That's what Jesus was trying to say. That God responds to us and that God gives of God's self to us. Of course, where this starts to get really complicated is when the for which we pray does not come to pass. Whether it be an opportunity, healing from an illness, repair of a relationship, all have experienced that place where we seemingly come up empty in our prayers. And it is at that point that we often go through some really peculiar theological contortions to try to explain what a passage like this really means. Some suggest that we don't always know what to pray for. Some say that God hears all prayers, but sometimes the answer is no. And we have a very long list that goes on and on of how we try to make sense of and rationalizing when it feels like prayer is empty. Well, perhaps what we really need to do is to ponder this passage, stepping back and looking in much bigger brushstrokes rather than getting tied up in the specifics. What if we see this merely as a statement that God is there, that God is always there, that God interacts with us in prayer, but sometimes our problem is what we bring to prayer and our penchant to often not be at a place because perhaps of our pain and our woundedness where we cannot listen, where we cannot see. See, when I look at this passage from Matthew, I'm reminded that God is there. And perhaps we really need to rethink what it means to ask and to seek and to knock. And that's when the images that Henri Nouwen gives us, this particular image he talked about of clenched fists and open hands, is really helpful to me. Think about that reading that was shared with us this morning. If you need a reminder, go ahead and look in your worship guide. It's printed right there where it says, praying is no easy matter. And Father Nouwen isn't kidding. Because in his framework, prayer is an invitation for God to enter into all the nooks and crannies of our beings. And I don't know about you, but that's a little bit scary. All of those places we would prefer not to expose. All of those parts of ourselves that we work so hard to hide. And Nouwen equates this reality to coming to prayer with clenched fists. Now that's something I want us to do right now. Take your hands and clench your fists. Clench them tightly. And when you're clenching those fists, and responding to that, what is it that comes to mind? Close your eyes and think about what is it that comes to mind when I have clenched fists. Do clenched fists represent a fight reflex? Are clenched fists a response to fear? Are the clenched fists there to protect? Are they trying to hold on to something? Are they trying to prevent the loss of a particular thing? Maybe our clenched fists can represent not wanting to let anyone or anything in. What do you think? What do you think clenched fists mean? And Nouwen suggested that more often than not, this is how we approach prayer. It is anything but seeking and knocking and asking the things to which Jesus refers. In fact, approaching prayer is a bit like, I dare you, God. I dare you to find a way into me. Talk about a silly pastime. Yet how many hours are spent with clenched fists? But let's get real here. There is so much that goes on in everyday life that sometimes don't clenched fists seem like the way to go? My fists have been clenched this past week. Maybe yours have too. As all of us have had to process words of this past week, words that have created such a sense of disbelief and dismay and frustration. And while we may think that these are the words of only one individual, the sad truth is that there are many, many even within the church, who are not willing to call evil that which is evil. Friends, free speech is one thing. It's a blessing and it's something we protect. But how can any legitimacy ever be given to groups who represent the basest tendencies of who we are and see their mission as teaching hate? Friends, we have no choice as followers of Jesus but to say no, absolutely not. To say, to even intimate that those who protest white supremacists and KKK members and neo-Nazis groups, to say that those protesters are morally equivalent defies logic. Hate groups are not moral, pure and simple. And we should be giving thanks, friends, for those who have hit the streets in support of a more just and a more compassionate world. And it's when stuff like this continues to happen, I don't know about you, but it becomes very difficult to have open hands. And by extension, it becomes difficult to come before God because we just don't know what to do. And of course, it's precisely at these times that coming to God in prayer, coming to God with open hands, is critical. It's hard. Yes, we all know how hard it is to peel open those fingers which are so tightly closed around the things of which we do not want to let go. But the truth that now in places before us is that until we are willing to open those hands, prayer will not work. It will be meaningless. And finding connection with God will be elusive. I know that I have to let go of my hate or righteous anger, or whatever you want to call it. I know I have to let go of my frustration. I know I have to let go of judgment if God is going to find a way into me, not to change opinion, but to transform me in a way that I can be part of a solution as opposed to only being a voice of dissent. And that's just one thing. Just one thing in the midst of all of the things that our hearts yearn to place before God in prayer. Yes, the contrast to clenched fists is open hands. And when our hands are open, we are open. When our hands are open, it means that we sense we are in a safe place. That we are willing to trust, that we are willing to receive. When we open our hands, we are willing to release the things to which we have held so tightly, and we are ready to offer up ourselves and our hearts. So I invite you now, close your eyes and open your hands. And open your hands before God. And think about what it is you are feeling. What is it you are sensing? It is with open hands that we are most open to God's Spirit working within and through us. When our hands are open, we can better begin the dialogue of prayer, which can enable us to address our hopes and hurts and point us toward the direction of transformation in new life. It's the open hand approach which readies us for Mark's ask and seek and knock. We do that with open hands. For friends, when our hands are open, we are better able to connect with God. You might have seen in the email blast that came out on Friday or read in our worship guide this morning that we want to really start to live even more fully into this notion of prayer. And so you are all invited Tuesday evening to join us here in the sanctuary at 6:30 for a prayer vigil. When we will be in prayer, particularly lifting up prayer for our nation, and our friends from the Creative Arts Synagogue who frequently conduct their holy services here at Westwood, they're going to be joining us that night. So I encourage you, if you're anywhere in the area, come by at 6:30. Or if you're elsewhere and have the opportunity to pause from what you are doing at 6:30 Tuesday night, I believe it's a powerful thing when we are all in prayer together. Prayer is a challenge. And sometimes there is a real rawness about it. But when we are raw with God, when we open ourselves to God, that's when we are transformed. That's when we are changed. And that's when our world begins to change. So I ask us now to consider, what are the reasons today that we have closed fists? And what will it take for us to move to open hands? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.